established in Chibok, which you will know as the place where the Chibok school doors were kidnapped. Among the first pastors trained and ordained was Maisuli Biu. If you know any Nigerian leader's name from the history of EYN, you need to know this name, Maisuli Biu. He was one of the key Nigerian leaders to work on transitioning the church into an independent church. He was the first chairman of the Majalisa, which is the equivalent to the Church of the Brethren annual conference here in the U.S., and he served in that position for some 15 years. So if you can imagine one of our annual conference moderators serving for 15 years. EYN became independent in 1972. By 1982, it had 96 congregations and nearly 400 preaching points with 40,000 members. Today, by some counts, EYN has 1 million members. By some counts, it's closer to 1.5 million. And EYN has started its own missions in other African countries, including Togo and Cameroon. So we're going to fast forward to the early 2010s. When EYN became the primary church target for Islamist insurgents in northeast Nigeria. In late 2014, Boko Haram was taking over towns and villages in EYN's heartland, including the EYN headquarters. So on this map, as you see this area, we're going to see another map very soon to show the overlay of Boko Haram activity. EYN leadership had to flee. They fled to Jos for the most part. Many EYN churches were attacked. Dozens of churches were attacked and destroyed. At least 10,000 church members were killed in those years. And thousands more were displaced. Since then, the worst of the violence has subsided, but that worst of the violence is only 9 years ago. EYN has been recovering and rebuilding ever since. The Church of the Brethren in the U.S. has stepped up with assistance and help through the Nigeria Crisis Response Program, which included disaster relief as well as trauma healing work, a lot of trauma healing work, and support from generous donors among American Brethren. The Nigeria Crisis Response donations have now topped $5 million. But violent attacks and abductions still continue. So we'll now see the 1983 map of the mission in EYN, which is up to the left in the black and white. And if you look at that inset map of Nigeria there in the bottom left corner of that, to the right here in the color, those red little squares are the main towns and communities where Boko Haram took over. In late 2014. This is a BBC map from late 2014. And you'll see the overlay. So you'll see that it was EYN's heartland where Boko Haram was trying to establish its caliphate. Yet EYN has survived. It's a miracle. The centenary celebrations were an expression of joy in God's faithfulness to EYN. So your pastor's asked me to bring some questions for reflection. Here's the question this raises for me. How may we in the U.S. Church give thanks for God's faithfulness for our history, while also acknowledging the mistakes our church has made and the wrongs that need righting? We'll close this part one with a video of the Women's Fellowship singing a song of gratitude to God in Hausa. You'll hear the word mungode, which means we are grateful.
Thank you, Cheryl. We'll hear more about the connections between the church there in Nigeria and our church in a little bit. There's a way of translating Ekklesia Yanua Anagyria, or E-Y-N. There's a way of translating it as meaning literally children of the same mother, which is a beautiful understanding of being a church family. On this Mother's Day, as we pray together, we draw from biblical stories to acknowledge that today is complicated for many reasons. And we want to hold tenderly the hurts and the joys of this day. We do not believe that parenting is the highest form of Christian engagement, but we do recognize that each of us have parents. And in that commonality, let us draw together in prayer. O God, who is like a mother to us, giving us life, raising us up in love, and teaching us how to be children who make you proud, we give thanks to you this morning. For earthly mothers of every stripe, we pray for all. For those like Tamar, struggling with infertility or a miscarriage. We pray for those like Rachel, counting the women among your family and friends who year by year and month by month get pregnant while you wait. We pray for you if you are like Naomi and have known the bitter sting of a child's death. Or if you're like Joseph and Benjamin and your mom has died. If your relationship with your mom was marked by trauma, abuse, or abandonment, or she just couldn't parent you the way you needed, we are holding you to the light. And if you've been like Moses' mother and put a child up for adoption, trusting another family to love your child into adulthood, we pray for you, too. We pray for all who've been like Pharaoh's daughter, called to love children who are not yours by birth, and thus the mother who brought that child into your life, even if it is complicated. For those who are watching or have watched your mother age and disappear into the long goodbye of dementia. And those who, like Mary, are pregnant for the very first time and waiting breathlessly for the miracle of your first child. We are praying for you if your children have turned away from you, painfully closing the door on relationship, leaving you holding your broken heart in your hands, and like Hagar, you are now mothering alone. We pray for those for whom motherhood is your greatest joy and toughest struggle, all rolled into one. If you are watching your child battle substance abuse, a public legal situation, mental illness, or another situation which you can merely watch unfold, may you sense us surrounding you in love. We pray and care for those who, like so many women before them, do not wish to be a mother, are not married, or in so many other ways do not fit into society's norms. We pray for you, each of you, if you see yourself reflected in all or none of these stories. This Mother's Day, wherever and whoever you are, we walk with you. You are loved. You are seen. You are worthy. And may you know the deep love without end of our big, wild, beautiful God, who is the very best example of a parent that we know. Amen. Cheryl, you have been lucky enough to spend a lot of time in Nigeria, both when you were younger and recently at the celebration for the 100th anniversary. Would you tell us, what is the most inspiring thing that you saw or experienced in that time?
I have to say the centenary celebrations were inspiring for a lot of reasons. For one, the sheer joy that was expressed. For another, the staggering size and scope and the organizational skill that lay behind those events. The celebrations were held in 13 different locations across Nigeria in clusters of church districts beginning in January. They culminated in two finale events, one at the EYN headquarters. There were an estimated 6,000 to 8,000 people present. And then the other finale was held at Nigeria's National Cathedral. It's a nickname for the big Christian center in the capital city of Abuja. And there were at least 10,000 people present. It was packed, it was standing room only, and there were people leaning in the windows to see what was happening, which is a common sight in Nigerian churches, I have to say. Often in an ordinary congregation, Sunday morning worship, it's going to be totally full, and there's going to be kids leaning in the windows trying to follow what's going on. There were two things that really stood out for me as well. I was impressed with how EYN is preserving indigenous traditions and cultures, and they're incorporating tribal and ethnic heritage into their worship. As EYN plants churches in more parts of Nigeria, which is happening because of the people who were displaced from violence have been spread out across the country, taking refuge in various areas. They're taking the church with them. One of the goals of EYN is to plant the church in every state of Nigeria. So the church is attracting people from a much broader and wider range of ethnic and tribal backgrounds. And including them all is becoming increasingly important. Nigeria is one of the most linguistically diverse countries in the world. By some counts, it has up to 500 living languages. And each language represents a distinct tribal or ethnic group. For example, in EYN's heartland in the Northeast, you've heard of the Bora people. There are also the Margi people. There are the Conway people and more. So the Margi people are divided into two languages, a North and a South. And both are needing Bible translation. You can see the complexity of how to build a church in that situation. At the celebrations, each ethnic group in that particular area presented a traditional dance. And some of the dances told stories, some acted out dramas, some were ritualized, some were free form. They were all incredibly exciting to watch, accompanied by rhythm instruments and a variety of traditional instruments. But for me, the best part was seeing people from the crowd start to jump up and join in who are from that tribal or ethnic background. So it was clear that these are dances that are just part of who you are if you are among those people. 5 years ago, I was in Nigeria to do a reporting trip in 2018. And I saw such dances performed in ordinary Sunday morning worship services. So this is something EYN just does. The second thing that really struck me was in a similar vein, how EYN actively involves youth and young adults as well as older generations. Many of the music groups who performed at the celebrations were youth and young adult groups. They played Western-style instruments. They sang praise music, as opposed to the older groups of the men's and women's fellowships. But they offered powerful leadership in the midst of these celebrations. And I could see that the youth and young adult groups are the ones that are bringing new leadership up in the church. So here's the question this prompts for me. How might our church here in the U.S. be inspired to offer places of belonging and fellowship opportunities for all generations? You will see some of these photos are showing that, but we have two videos coming up to close this part. One is of one of the traditional dances, and you'll see people in some of the traditional robes of the Northeast. and then one of the young adult music groups.
Thank you, Cheryl. It really is inspiring to see the church thriving. Joy as resistance to challenges that we can only imagine here. During our Building Blocks worship series, as we seek to be a church that is still figuring out how to be church together, we have been having a time of passing the peace each week as a way of knowing each other more. So maybe you'll choose to tell each other something that you saw or heard or did that inspired you this week. Remember, you don't have to watch the time. The music will call us back. Let us join together in greeting our siblings in faith and sharing the peace of Christ.
And he's not the adventurous.
Cheryl, we're in the midst of a worship series based on the book of Acts, where we see the early church trying to figure out how to be the church. And we keep becoming very aware that we are still figuring out how to be the church, that the process is never quite complete. Given that, what do we, the American church, the Church of the Brethren, the Stone Church, what do we have to learn from EYN at 100 years of trying to figure it out?
My flippant answer is lots. But I would point to one thing in particular, to the way EYN has maintained the Church of the Brethren peace witness in its own way that speaks to its own culture at a time in Nigeria when one might think that is impossible. First, you must know that EYN is not pacifist. EYN accepts the help of the Nigerian military to protect it from insurgent attacks. There were, for example, armed guards at the centenary celebrations, which was a jarring image for me. I am a pacifist, so what I had to do when I'm in northeast Nigeria these days to remember that one is stepping into what is virtually still a war zone. I realize that I have to try to understand and accept what EYN needs to do for its own survival. And yet, EYN maintains the peace witness. Here's how EYN President Joel Billy expressed it in an interview that I did with him that will be appearing in full in the June issue of Messenger. This is EYN President Joel Billy. He said, quote, "We relate with people without condemning them, without looking down on them, irrespective of your doctrine or creed or whatever. We blend with them without losing our brethren creed and heritage. We frown at war, and no one should seek vengeance." At first, the other churches said, "What nature of men are these?" But they got used to us. They've come to realize that we are the worst hit church, the most persecuted. President Billy told me that there have been a series of EYN leaders who have emphasized peace and also have been very active in ecumenical leadership in Nigeria. And he is taking on that mantle himself. He was recently named to top leadership in a couple of the key ecumenical groups. I asked him how EYN is sharing the peace witness with other Christians in Nigeria. He said, quote, "EYN is setting the example. We say no to going to war, no life-taking, go the extra mile, turn the other cheek. It sounds so stupid to many," he said. "But," and he said, "we say, you are reading the scripture upside down. The scripture says, forgive 7 times 70. There is no limit to forgiveness. If someone kills your wife, your husband," and then he paused as we were talking, and in that moment of silence, I could feel the weight of the Nigerian brethren reality. If someone kills your wife, your husband, this is what has actually happened to many, many families in EYN. If someone kills your wife, your husband. President Billy continued. He said, "We just have to forgive. It will give forgiveness to ourselves and peace of mind. Forgiving has given me great peace of mind," he said. And then he added, and this is what was the kicker for me. He said, "I always expect more from our people. We have not done our best yet. We are trying our best, but Christ expects more from us." At the centenary, EYN received many commendations from ecumenical guests. I was struck by what was said by Moses J. Ibuka, the General Secretary of TECON, which is one of the leading ecumenical organizations in Nigeria. And you'll see him here shaking hands with President Billy, and there he is speaking. He's here shaking hands with President Billy, and here he is speaking at the finale event at the EYN headquarters. Ibuka called EYN to remember those it has lost to violence, saying, quote, "As you celebrate, I know those who have been lost, injured, attacked by Boko Haram, as well as the burning down of your churches, immense pain, suffering, and loss. I cannot begin to imagine what you have gone through in the face of senseless adversity. And yet," he said, "you have continued to stand firm in your convictions and the power of your community. The EYN Church has remained a beacon of hope and inspiration. You have been an inspiration to us all, a beacon of the compassion of Christ that is at the heart of your faith," end quote. I thought that was one of the most amazing things I heard during the trip. Here is the question this raises for me. How may we here in the U.S. Church maintain the peace witness in a way that speaks to others across our culture and our country today? We'll close this section with a video of the crowd at the EYN headquarters singing the song you just sang, In Hausa, Amazing Grace.
God of the whole world, creator of mountains, seas, sustainer of everything that has breath, caretaker and parent of us all, we pray for the world, for siblings in faith across oceans and yet united in following Jesus as best we can, committed to figuring it out block by block together. Thank you especially for EYN, for their faith, and their witness to your faithfulness. We are grateful for the deep connections we share. Continue to deepen our ties, our commitment to one. We pray for those closer to home, rejoicing with graduates today, especially those from Juniata College. We are celebrating them as they move on to the next adventure in their lives. We pray, too, for, we celebrate alongside Brandon Conaway, who successfully defended his thesis as he works for becoming a school psychologist. We're grateful for music, especially here at Stone Church, and the music we have heard from those around the world. We are grateful for the children in our midst, as their youthful enthusiasm brings joy and energy to our worship. Lord, we hold gently the grief of the family of John Bowser, who died this past week. Bring your comfort and peace. We pray for my mother-in-law, for Jane, to get better as she slowly recovers from severe pneumonia. We're glad for the progress she has made. Take care of Cindy and Daniel and Beverly while we are apart, and she helps her mom and dad and sister, and they care for one another. Hear our prayers for Jeff and Daisy's brother-in-law, Don, as he is recovering from surgery, and our prayers for Terry as she continues to heal from ongoing complications with COVID. Take care of Bill as he deals with the pain in his knee. May last week's procedure bring some relief. Be with Patty's mom, Lucy, in the midst of the unknown. Help her and her family know they are not alone. We pray for Roxanne's friend, Lori, who's back in the hospital again, having a difficult time. Help her to know, too, that she is not alone. There are many within our family of faith with cancer that we care deeply about. Hear our prayers for Val and Samantha, for Chris and Steve's cousin, Steve. We pray together for a friend, Steve, and for a friend, Donna, even as we are grateful for the mothers around us, for all that they do. We await results alongside Gail, for her nephew Calvin's biopsy. We also are grateful that her sister Levina's MRI results were good. God, we lift up Tom McMahon, who's experiencing extreme neck pain and shoulder pain, and there are no answers yet. Lord, have mercy. Give him some relief, we pray.
You, O Lord, are our God, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, steadfast love as high as the heavens and established forever, faithfulness that extends to the clouds, as firm as the heavens. We sing of your steadfast love and faithfulness. We proclaim it to all generations. To your name may we give glory for the sake of your steadfast love and faithfulness. Lord, in all the complexities of life, teach us to see it, to seek your faithfulness, to lift our eyes and know that you are our source and our strength. Continue to expand our vision, God, to see your church, our church, as a global community, to see your mission of love and peace and justice as a mission for all. Help us to see our impact, for good and for ill, rippling out beyond us and into every corner and crevice of your creation. Expand our sense of family, our sense of belonging and welcome, our sense of you at work and enlivening all creatures, great and small, through your Spirit. Amen.
Lord, I will live.
As you go, lift up your eyes. Look around. Find strength in God's church within you and reaching far beyond you. Thanks be to God. Go in the love and the peace and the faithfulness of God now and always. Amen.